what Brother Colton has brought as a way of introduction. I know it's been on his mind for a good while about faith. We've talked about it some, and I pray that the Lord would continue to bless him in his interest in God's Word and in the subject of faith. What I have been thinking about lately, you know, we talked about what is truth, and we ended up last time on belief. And Thomas said, "I will not believe except I see the print of the nails in his hands and thrust my finger in them and put my hand into his side. I will not believe." Now, Thomas was an apostle, remember? One of the 12 that followed Jesus, and one that was very close with him, heard his teachings, saw his miracles. And yet he said, "I will not believe." The disciples, remember, after he fed the 5,000 the first time, and then after that he gets into a ship, and you know, they didn't believe he could do it the first time. And yet, when they had 12 loaves of bread the first time, and when they kept on taking the fish and the bread out of the basket and giving it to the people, when they... remember, they just started with 12 baskets, and I believe it was either 4 or 5,000. I can't remember the first time. And they took up, after they had finished feeding all of them, they took up 12 whole baskets full. And these men witnessed this. They witnessed it. Then right after that, the Lord gets on a boat, or the disciples get in a boat to go across the Sea of, I believe it's Tiberias. And a storm comes up, and the disciples are there in the ship. Fishermen, remember, who spent their lives on the sea. And this storm that comes up had them so afraid that they were fearing for their lives. And they wake up the master, and they say, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And Jesus said, "Peace, be still." The first time. And the waves stopped roaring, and the sea was calm, and the wind stopped. And they were all amazed, just as they were the first time that he fed the multitudes. More teachings, more miracles happen. And again, the multitudes are following him, and they're hungry. And the disciples come to Jesus and say, "Lord, let's send them away that they might eat and and find their own food. And the Lord said, what do you have? And one of them said, there's a lad here, a little young man, a young boy, and he's got a few loaves and a few fishes. And Jesus says, they said to him, but what are they among so many? This is the second time. The disciples say, but what are they among so many? And what did Jesus say? He says, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe. Oh, ye of little faith. Do ye not remember the loaves and the fishes? The first time, I've shown you that I could do it once. Do you not know that I can do it again? Do you not believe that I can do it again? O ye of little faith. And then they get, and right after that, they get into a ship. And this time I believe they're alone. I think they're alone this second time. And they say, Lord, they're on the ship and the waves come up and they fear for their lives. And they see a spirit walking on the water. And Peter says, fear not, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter said, Lord, if it's really you, call me out to walk on the water. And Jesus said, come on, Peter. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. And then he said, Master, I perish, because he took his eyes off Jesus. And he said, Master, I perish. And he started to look at all the waves and all the stuff around him. And he said, Master, save me, I perish. And the Lord saved him. He lifted him up and he saved him. And he said, peace be still again. And he said, O ye of little faith, why didst thou doubt? What does believe mean? Did the Lord save them the first time from the sea? And yet they doubted that he would save them again. He'd already proven, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he has the command over the natural elements of his creation. He's already proven that to them in their eyes, in their experience. They felt the rain. They felt the waves. They felt the water on their face. They felt everything about that. Their vestibular system going up and down and being tossed to and fro. And the Lord stopped that right in its tracks. And they experienced that. And yet the next time they says, oh Lord, we're going to perish. Oh fools, slow of heart to believe. Where is your faith? These are not wicked men. These are God's men. Ones that He hand chose specifically to walk with Him. And He said, where is your faith? Why did you doubt? Merriam-Webster defines the word believe to accept or regard something as true. Number two, to accept the word or evidence of what is said by someone. And number three, it's to have an opinion. Which one do you think the Lord was talking about? Why do you not accept what you've already seen and have the opinion that it's going to happen again? These men are no different than you and I. How I want you to think back on your life, and I want you to think about how the Lord has delivered you, and I mean in a mighty way. It doesn't even have to be in a mighty way. It could be in a small deliverance that you know was from Him. And then the next time you come up on a problem, you doubt. We doubt, don't we? But we shouldn't doubt. So many times, we are like that man in Mark chapter 9. Let's turn over there. Mark chapter 9 and verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. That means that the boy couldn't talk. That doesn't mean that the spirit was stupid. It means that the boy couldn't talk because of the spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, the spirit taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. That means he just looks up into space, and he just stares out into the unknown. That's what that means. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. Many people today would call this a grand mal seizure. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? Meaning, when did these convulsions or this spirit start? And he says, of a child, since he was a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire. That means he convulsed and the spirit cast him into the fire. And into the waters sometimes to destroy him. But if thou canst, that means if you can, do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst, or if you can, believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out, and and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Do you see this man's conflict? This man is no different than you or I. This man has, he knows Jesus has the ability to do it. He knows, he said, Lord, if you can, have compassion on us and help us. And he said, and the Lord replies, if thou canst believe, I'll do it. And the man, he says, all things are possible to him. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And this man says, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. That's where we're at, isn't it? I believe that it's possible for God to do anything in the world. I believe it's God that God's got the ability to take whatever ailments I've got and make them right just like that. I believe that. I believe that God is sovereign and He's got all power in heaven and earth. I believe that. Many times in this Word, in this Bible, in God's Word, He says, if thou believest, it's possible. But we talked about last time, you remember that song, I Believe I Can Fly? Can you really fly? No. Not unless you get on an airplane. And then you're not flying. You're just a passenger. This is a big subject, isn't it? Belief. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. This man believed and he didn't believe all at the same time. You ever been there? I've been there. Every child of God is there. They believe. But that unbelief is always present with them. Help thou mine unbelief. Is it really possible? Yes, it's possible. Jesus said it was. It's possible within the realm of that possibility. I can't fly. Even though I believe I can fly, I really don't. But if I did believe I could fly, I really can't because it's not possible for me to do so. Is this simple enough for y'all today? I hope it is. I'm trying to make it that way. It's a hard subject, isn't it? That man said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. You ever believe that God, that it was possible for God to do something, but that He probably wouldn't do it? That's, you're saying, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. That's what you're saying. Belief. So much said about it in the Scriptures. If you believe, and belief is very important, isn't it? Would you agree? Belief is extremely important. Jesus placed a lot of heaviness on belief. And yet, in one sense, what you believe about something doesn't matter. Is there a Grand Canyon? How many of y'all been to the Grand Canyon? I have. How many of y'all been to the Grand Canyon? You hadn't? Do y'all believe it's there? Do you believe the Grand Canyon's there? Why? Why do you believe that? If you've never seen it for your eyes, why do you believe that? Come on, it's interactive day.
People talk about it.
People, you hear about it. People talk about it. You've seen pictures of it. You've seen newsreels of it or documentaries about it. And you've seen the pictures and people. There's a lot of evidence out there. But yet you haven't experienced, have you? How can you believe something that you've never experienced? But yet you do, don't you? It's no different. Well, it's a little different. But in that context, it's no different than believing Jesus Christ. The evidence is set forth. You go outside and the evidence immediately hits you in the eyes. You see the trees. You see the clouds. You feel the wind. You smell the smells that are in nature. There's no reason for any human being living to not believe that there is a Creator. All the evidence is there. And yet, they don't believe it. The wicked don't believe it. That'd be like you not believing the Grand Canyon was real. You know what? Back before Columbus, you know Christopher Columbus. You guys remember Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492? Y'all remember that? Before then, what did they believe about the world? That it was flat. Was it true? Because they believed it. Was it true? No, it was not. It was not true. But they believed it was, but it wasn't. What we believe about something doesn't make it true or false. Something is truth. But whatever is true is going to always be true. And if it's not always true, then it's not truth. It's not absolute truth. We've established that God is absolute truth, and that's the only absolute truth that there is. We prove that gravity is not always true. We prove that the sun coming up and staying in the same track consistently from the east to the west is not always true. God stopped the sun, and not only that, He turned it backwards. 15 degrees in the sundial of Ahaz one time. Y'all remember that? But God's the Creator. He can alter and change any law that He wants to because He created it. So God is the only absolute truth. Now, if you don't believe in God, does that make God untrue? Not one bit. Thomas, did his not believing that Jesus had risen again keep Jesus from rising again? Not one bit. Jesus, he said, and he was fully persuaded in his mind that he would not believe unless he was able to stick his fingers into his hands. But what he believed about it didn't change the fact that Jesus had already risen. So what is belief? Belief is being fully persuaded in your mind that something is the way that it was told to you. And it also is a declaration of where you stand concerning the truth. You ever heard of that? I believe this. That's making a stand, isn't it? Well, you're making a stand. And if somebody says, just like Thomas did, Thomas made a stand, didn't he? He said, I will not believe. He made a stand against the truth. And he was one of God's men. Doesn't mean he wasn't going to heaven. Right? What that does mean is that he was not blessed like other men are blessed. He said, blessed art thou, Thomas, because you've seen and believed. He said, you've seen and believed, Thomas, but blessed are they who have not seen and yet believed. They haven't experienced what you've experienced. And yet they believe it. They're making a stand based on where they are in terms of the truth. Because the evidence that they have is that faith that they have inside and the Spirit that gave them that faith. It's an evidence that they're a child of God and that they know that God's their Father and that Jesus is their Son, and they've made that declaration and they believe it. And when they profess it, they're making a stand considering where they are in terms of the truth that God is the Creator. Jesus Christ is His Son. Jesus Christ died and rose again. You know, when you get baptized, what that says about you? That says about you that you believe that Jesus rose again from the grave, and you proved it by your actions. That's what that part of believing is. There's a lot of things we believe, isn't there? If you don't think there's a lot of different ideas that people have out there, just start asking folks, what do you believe about the resurrection? What do you believe it'll be like in heaven? What do you believe about the second coming of Christ? And you will find as many different answers as people you ask. Why is that? Because just like you in the Grand Canyon, the only thing they've done is they've heard what other people have told them. Most of them hadn't even read what the Bible says about it. They've just heard things. A lot of people believe that there's going to be a rapture. Y'all know what that means? That the Lord is going to come back and He's going to remove His people out of this earth and come back and set a literal throne up in Jerusalem. This is a generality. And that He's going to give folks 1,000 years chance. The wicked, He's going to give them 1,000 years chance to get to go to heaven. That is not, first of all, the word rapture is not in the Scriptures. Second of all, that is a falsehood idea that they came up with from a book written by a guy, and they made a movie about it called Left Behind. And so because that was way out there, a lot of people saw those movies. And the religious world grasped onto that, and now it's perceived as being true. Just like the world being flat. Common knowledge. Where the uncommon knowledge comes in is when people read their Bible. That's uncommon knowledge. Now, Bible talks a lot about belief. You know what belief is? I'm gonna lay it on you. You really want to know what belief is or unbelief is? When God tells you something, and you read it in God's Word, and you don't believe it, and your actions prove that you don't believe it, what you're really declaring is that God is a liar. Is that strong enough? I don't want you to ever forget it, because that's what you're saying. You remember in Hebrews chapter 3, or in Exodus? Hebrews talking about Exodus. You remember the children of Israel? You remember what happened? God brought them across the Red Sea, with a mighty hand, delivered them out of bondage in Egypt. What did they do? God proved to them. They experienced the Red Sea being walled up on either side, and them going across that sea on dry land. They saw the horse and his rider and Pharaoh die in that sea after they had the walls closed in on them. They experienced that. You know the first thing they did? They made them a golden calf, said, "This is God that delivered you out of Egypt." That's one provocation. Provoke. That's one provoking. Then they started murmuring about God. Murmuring. Complaining. That God had taken them out, or Moses led them out into the wilderness to die. No, Moses led them out to the wilderness so they could worship God. But they provoked him again. Said, "Oh, that we had the leeks and all the melons and all those things." You know what happened? God told them to go on into Canaan's land and possess it. He said, "I've given it to you. I'm going to drive out the inhabitants of the land." You know what? They didn't believe God. They sent spies in there. And you know, this is serious. Because they didn't believe God. And God said, "Yea, these 10 times you've provoked me." And he said, "I swear in my wrath that you'll not enter into my rest." And every one of them people died from 20 years old and upward from that day. Every one of them died. The ones that he just brought out, he did not allow them to go into the land. Why? Because they called God a liar. By their unbelief. And you see what they got for it? They wandered around in the wilderness, seemingly aimlessly. Seemingly aimlessly. That was a judgment that God brought upon them because they called God a liar. In Hebrews chapter 3, let's turn over there. Well, it starts in verse 7. Or it don't start in verse 7, but that's where I'm going to start. But Christ as a son over his own... I'm sorry, that was in 6. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today. Today. If ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation... In the days of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. And they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. He's using the Old Testament event of the Israelites' provocation and hardening of their hearts for us today. He says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now, do you understand that God was long-suffering with the children of Israel? He says, And gave them 10 chances too. He says, you've done the thing in the calf and you've been murmuring and you've been complaining and now you've gone and I swear in my wrath after these times that you will not enter into my rest from 20 years old and upward. Did he mean it? He meant it. Every one of them died. You know who else didn't get to go in? Who was God's man? Moses didn't get to go in to Canaan's land. God blessed him to see it. He overlooked it, but he never entered into it. And there is something special about today. There's something urgent about today. Because it may be that we have not believed God in the past. And God will not always suffer that. He may bring some judgment upon you while it's called today, he says. Don't harden your heart in unbelief. Today. That makes all the difference in the world. He won't suffer things forever. We have proof and proof and proof and proof of that. Did you know the Israelites were in captivity for 70 years one time? Because they had not let the land rest for 490 years? Did you know that? God's so specific and exacting with His judgment. What's 70 times 7, 490. Every seventh year they were supposed to let the land rest and replenish itself. And they didn't do it because they were greedy. And they didn't believe God meant what He said. Did God get His years back? Yeah, He did, every one of them. He just got them all at once. They didn't believe what God said, and He was long-suffering with them and granted them space to repent, and they did not. So belief, friends, children, lovers of God, believers in Jesus Christ, is important. Belief is important. What you believe is important. How you believe is important. It's important for today. It's not just important for way on going to heaven. You're going to get there based on the blood and work of Jesus Christ. But that belief, friends, is important today. It'll help you today. Such a big subject. I'm telling you, if there's something that you have been needing to do, God's been leading you to do, and the Spirit's been convicting you to do, I'm telling you, don't harden your heart. Because there may be a time when God takes that away. There may be a time when God, that door is closed for you. I'm not talking about going to heaven. I'm talking about entering into rest. There may be some, and I'm telling you, I've missed some opportunities in my life. I don't even know how many opportunities I've missed in my life because I did not believe God would do what He said He would do. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I tell you what, if I didn't believe that, I'd be undone. But sometimes we live like He's forsaken us. You know what we're doing? We're calling God a liar because we know better. We know better. Let's believe what God said, because unbelief is making God a liar. We're declaring that we think He's a liar. You know, that's a scripture in 1 John chapter 5, I believe. Let's trust in God, because He's faithful that promised, isn't He? Doors of our church are open for reception of members, should any have that desire to trust and believe that God said what He said and did what He said He would do. May the Lord be with us to help us be a blessing to someone every day this week.